Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Colm Kelly here, the executive producer of the RotoViz Radio Podcast Network and co-host of the RotoViz Overtime Podcast, along with the phenomenal Sean Siegel. The wait is over, the NFL season is here, and there's no better time than the present to sign up for a RotoViz NFL Pass. You'll get access to all of our content, all of our tools, everything you need to help you for that in-season success. As a loyal podcast listener, you can get yourself a 10% discount to a RotoViz NFL Pass just by adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. Or go to rotoviz.com/podcast for more information. Let's go get those championships. I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Breaks a tackle, watch out! Burst of speed! Look at this freshman!
Welcome to the home of professional football, Canton, Ohio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the College to Canton podcast, the perfect show for any and every college football fan. I'm your host, Stéphane Lacoe, and I am joined by the one, the only, the Travis May. You can find us on Twitter. He's at FF underscore Travis M. It'd be weird if the underscore came first. And I'm Stéphane Lacoe. And, you know, I had to make Stéphane Lacoe my Twitter handle because, like, I can be such a pain in the ass at times. I just needed that little reminder to remain fun at times.
Just stay fun.
Yeah. Anyway, if you're new to this show, College to Canton is just the absolute perfect show for any and every college and NFL fan. We cover a player's journey from being recruited all the way to the Hall of Fame. We have a lot of fun doing it. We always talk some fantasy football because, well, this is a RotoViz Radio podcast, and we love fantasy football. So before we jump into the wide receiver conversation, we're looking at the transfer class, some very interesting names, maybe even some very interesting situations going on at teams. But before we do all that, how you doing, Travis?
I'm good, man. I'm always ready to talk about wide receivers. And I've been talking rookies nonstop on different podcasts for the past 2 weeks. I think I've been on 5 different shows, not even, you know, not including our own, talking about different rookies. And we'll get back to that. And we'll be talking about some NFL Combine stuff here very soon because, that you know, it's NFL Combine time of year with all of everyone getting way too excited about 40 times and way too excited about hand size and all the things that are just kind of funny and mean a lot less than we give them credit for. But, you know, we'll still talk about it nonetheless because we still find it interesting ourselves if we're honest, you know, with ourselves here. But yeah, you know, but in the meantime, we'll mix it up and give you a podcast that is for a second here, not focused on NFL Combine stuff. We're going to be talking about transfer wide receivers. And so I'm excited to do that. We already covered quarterbacks. We already covered running backs and tight ends. Last but not least, we got the wide receiver position today. So who do you want to talk about first today?
Well, I do like talking about wide receivers because quarterbacks, there's only ever, 32 quarterbacks playing, and most of them aren't all that relevant for fantasy football. Whereas wide and then running backs, their shelf life is so low and limited. Wide receivers is really where you can build the core of your team and write it for a decade if you do things well, because wide receivers can last in the NFL for so long and they can hit production early. And like, we're seeing them hit production earlier and earlier, like Justin Jefferson going out there and absolutely crushing as a rookie. And then this past year, we saw guys that weren't even the elite of the elite, but end up just dominating towards the end of the year. I'm thinking of guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown in Detroit, who looks like just a target monster now. And all of a sudden, like, you get your wide receivers right, and you can stress a lot less about roster construction, because you only have to worry about those pieces that are changing and moving so much faster. So I love the wide receiver position as well. And I want to kind of start in a weird spot here, because this is not by any means the most exciting move that we're going to talk about. But from everything that I've seen from mock drafts, and I'll be honest, I am not as in the weeds as I will be soon, because I have become absolutely obsessed with Colorado Avalanche hockey. But Treylon Burks is leaving Arkansas, and we have a former really exciting recruit and pretty decent wide receiver from Oklahoma going to Arkansas. Do you think Jaden Hazelwood can become a factor early? I'm obviously not projecting or suggesting or asking if he is the next Burks, but do you think he could fill some of the void that they will feel this upcoming season?
I think so. I think right away there's tons of target share to be had, because, well, Treylon Burks was most of their receiving production. I mean, there's a reason he peaked at like the 94th percentile for his adjusted production index overall. And so, yeah, I mean, losing a player like that, you have to fill out that production. I mean, nobody else besides Burks had more than 24 catches last year. That's pretty terrible. Like, and it's crazy. Like, we thought Trey Nix was going to be the guy. Maybe if he stays healthy for a full season, he will be that guy and take a next step. You know, Mike Woods transferred out and actually went to Oklahoma. He could have been last year had he stayed. But yeah, Jaden Hazelwood, I think, is an easy bet for some volume. I mean, I'm not sure if he's primarily the slot, and they change, you know, from having this huge big body guy like that in the slot to a smaller shiftier, hey, Jaden Hazelwood, or what that looks like. But I think he's got a good shot for some real significant market share in year one in Arkansas.
Yeah, my question with Hazelwood compared to Burks is Burks was not, not quite as much as Drake London, but not this huge. Actually, now I'm saying this, I don't even know if I'm right. I'm just, this could all just be narrative. I'll frame it as a question. How was Burks with like yards of separation from defensive backs? Was he able to create his own space, or was it a lot of contested catches?
I mean, it was some contested catches, especially like on some deep shots where he's just mossing some people, and not deep, right, deep shots, but you know, like especially in that 15 to 20 range, like down the sideline, he just mossing people in contested spots, and even in the slot, like he's bullying some people over the middle and doesn't have yards of separation. So neither of them are doing that consistently, but I think Burks is faster, quite a bit faster than Drake London. But Hazelwood does, I think, you know, he's not small. He's just not 230 pounds. Like, he's still tall, and so he can win some contested situations too in his own way. I think,
because I do think he'll have to with the quarterback play there.
I think he'll have to, but I think his ADOT will be maybe a little bit lower early on in the year, just because KJ Jefferson needs it to be. But he has the athleticism to create more separation, I think, creating a wider window for KJ Jefferson to target before the ball gets there. Like, Burks kind of makes – he kind of creates separation at the last second, like with his technique. And however you want to talk about that from a film analysis standpoint, like he creates space at a different part of the
route. Us defensive backs call it offensive pass interference, Travis.
Yeah, well, hey, it's not always like that even. I think just sometimes it's just manipulating the defensive back into not knowing when the ball is coming, changing the way his body is facing, his footwork. Yeah. You know, there are different ways to be creative with it. But I think Hazelwood gives Jefferson an easier read before the ball is out of his hand.
Yeah, I like that. So That's probably not where you thought I was going to start you off at. But I thought it was a fun one because we have been talking so much about rookie. Well, you and I haven't, but the fantasy football community in general has been talking so much about these incoming players. So Burks was a nice transition there. Another place that's seeing an awful lot of action in the transfer portal here is the University of Southern California. We have not one, not two, but three wide receivers transferring in all arguably, well, maybe not the first one, but two of them were the best wide receivers on their team, you could say. And the third was hyped to become a future phenom. We've got Mario Williams from Oklahoma. We've got Brendan Rice from Colorado. And while his stats are terrible, it's because they couldn't throw the ball in Colorado. We talked about that earlier this week with the Jarek Broussard talk. But Brendan Rice, you'd see him on kick returns and punt returns, and he's electric. So he could be really fun. And then last but not least, we've got Terrell Bynum coming in from Washington, who was another anemic passing offense, which got their coach fired. And so three interesting players going to this USC team that is just chock full of transfer talent this year.
Yeah, it's going to be one to watch. But I think that the name to get excited about in the mix of transfer wide receivers to USC is Mario Williams coming over with his quarterback, Caleb Williams, and not to be confused with CJ Williams, who is coming in as a true freshman at wide receiver for USC. So we're going to have a situation where we have two Williams at wide receiver catching passes from the quarterback, who is also Williams. So that's going to be fun. It won't
be confusing at all.
No, not. Yeah, Williams hits Williams, and then Williams with the block downfield so that Williams can score.
So will we see C.A. Williams on the back of Caleb's jersey?
No, I don't
because
think.
Because it can't be C.J. because there's two C's, Williams. Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see
how that works. We'll see.
but seriously,
Mario. Everyone just stopped listening after me.
Like, okay, guys, we get it. Last name are Williams, so we don't care. But no, it's real Bynum. I think some people want to get excited about him because, you know, at least people in Pac-12 country, a lot of people don't even know who that is. You know, people.
He's a talented dude. I am the Pac-12 guy. He's very talented.
He's very talented. Like he is. An annoying reason why Jalen McMillan didn't go off harder last year, you know, for Washington. Like McMillan, I actually kind of compared him to an Amon-Ra St. Brown when he came in as a wide receiver, but Bynum actually garnered a bunch of targets against a high pedigree wide receiver in terms of competition for targets last year. And that was frustrating. Bynum was good enough to take some targets away. I'm not really sure he's good enough to take him away from Mario Williams, who already has an existing relationship with Caleb Williams, or take him away from a guy in Taj Washington who just had over 50 catches for USC last year. So he might have a new coaching staff, but he might have one of those spots already locked in. That is Taj Washington. And then they've got a really talented true freshman coming in, CJ Williams. So there's not an infinite number of roles here. But if I was going to bet on any of these three, it would be Mario Williams, number one, Terrell Bynum, number two, Brendan Rice coming from Colorado to be number three in terms of the best bet to lock in a starting role and garner enough targets to be considered an NFL prospect. Mario Williams, of course, on the fringe of being a five-star talent, also coming from Oklahoma. I mean, we just talked about Jaden Hazelwood leaving Oklahoma. Hazelwood, there was the number one wide receiver in his entire class. Mario Williams was in that mix for quite some time as well in his. What are your thoughts on those three transfers?
Yeah, I mean, for one, I don't know why. I mean, I'm in CU. I live right down the road from CU. I don't know why Brendan Rice went there. It was real disappointing to me because I would have been equally disappointed if he went to Oregon because, like, different problem in Oregon, they don't pass the ball enough. And in USC, there's going to be too many people to pass the ball to. And I'm not exactly sure what that will look like, considering the other transfers they have in. So I'm really disappointed for Brendan Rice. I think it was a wrong choice for him, unless he just wants to have fun and win some games. So I don't think he's going to become a thing. And Terrell Bynum, I think it's a similar story. I think there's just too many other players there. My question, though, for you, you kind of mentioned it. Do you think that the fact that Mario Williams is coming over, he's played with Caleb Williams, and to me, almost more importantly, is he's played with Lincoln Riley. How big of a factor do you think that will make? Because, yeah, there's some proven veterans on that team, like you said, but none with this coaching staff. But Mario Williams does have that and the quarterback. So it's kind of one of these weird situations where he might be in a more veteran scenario than some of the guys that have been at USC. So what are your thoughts on that?
And that's the biggest thing. I think he locks in one of the slot roles for USC. When they go four wide, he'll be in slot. He might be in more of a kind of a moving Z role or whatever if they go 11 personnel. But, yeah, Mario Williams seems like the safest bet to be the lead in targets on that offense this year, given his experience with Caleb Williams, Lincoln Riley. And, yeah, they have a bunch of talent, but a bunch of kind of unproven talent at this level. So yeah, Mario Williams would be that guy.
Yeah. Speaking of USC, this is I want to cue the Obi-Wan Kenobi. That is a name I have not heard in a very long time. That was, I don't know what accent that was. But Brew McCoy, he left USC because of a lot of off the field stuff. His name is still floating in the transfer portal. Do you think we ever get to be excited about Brew McCoy?
Probably not. Not at this point.
So sad. Oh, yeah. That's such a bummer. All right. Moving on.
That's it. In fact, you know. Moving on. But on the flip side, I think a name that we will be hearing more of is Jermaine Burton. You know, I think on the last show, we kind of joked about how bad the wide receiver situation is at Alabama when they have like 9 top 100 former recruits with top 100 overall pedigree. And Jermaine Burton leaves Georgia, goes to Alabama, and a lot of people are going to be hoping for Jameson Williams part two. I don't think he's that kind of player. We didn't think Jameson Williams is that kind of player, but I don't think that Jermaine Burton is just locked in to be that kind of player immediately. But I think at worst he splits time in kind of their wide receiver two role. Like, is that where you see him? Like, do you see him like really the upside being a Jameson Williams just crazy season?
I think that's the upside. I think it's possible, not probable. I love this move for Jermaine Burton. I think Stetson Bennett's only going to get you so far. And I think moving to Alabama gives him an opportunity to really shine and show what he's capable of. And that very well could be something Jameson Williams-esque. What one reason why I'm really rooting for Jermaine Burton is because Mecole Hardman was all like, man, you just won a national championship and now you're going to move and play against the enemy. And I like Jermaine Burton's response. He's like, man, I'm going to do what's best for me, man. Like, this is my career. I'm going to make my choices. And I love that. I think this is a much better situation for his skill set. He's going to have a much better opportunity. And worst case scenario, it's if he doesn't like smash in Alabama, like a decent wide receiver output in Bama is going to be the equivalent of a good one in Georgia. I'm not saying that Bama's better than Georgia, just how they play football. I'd rather be a decent wide receiver. I'd rather be a John Metchie, you know, than whatever George is putting out at number one.
Yeah. And it's funny. You said you can only get so far with Stetson Bennett and then they just won the national championship. But
I'm talking about receiving.
Yeah. As a wide receiver, I knew what you meant, but somebody's going to be listening to that podcast and get angry. And I know this because I've had so many people in the last few weeks when I say something about one player or even like a fan base, they'll find me on Twitter and DM me like, hey, that one thing you said 20 minutes and 13 seconds into that podcast that I took out of context, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. But our listeners would never do that. No, we love you guys. But when I guest on podcasts, that's what happens, though. It happens, though. Then people find me. They're like, wait, this guy that I've never heard of before said something about my fan base. I'm going to go find it. Yeah, anyway.
I mean, that makes sense.
That's the thing. But no, it makes sense though, because A.D. Mitchell was going off for Georgia. You know, true freshman last year comes in and outsnaps everybody in the wide receiver room. And Burton probably thought, oh my goodness, Pickens is out. This is my time to shine. And they didn't just hand him a bunch of targets. And that'd be a little disappointing. And if you don't get all the targets at Georgia, you're not going to get enough targets to really get a good look from NFL decision makers. And given where the Alabama offense is, I'm going to go play with the first round quarterback that's chucking it 40 plus times a game this year. That's going to be in the mix with Heisman and might, you know, put me in that kind of life at wide receiver. And again, a bunch of unproven guys or, you know, young guys who make a couple plays late, especially Ja'Cory Brooks. I think Ja'Cory Brooks is a guy for Alabama, former five-star that I think does stick and does really good things. JoJo Earl, before he missed time with some injury, was looking good, splitting time in the slot. I think he is likely the starting slot this year as well, or at least splits time there again.
Yeah, and we did talk about these guys in our class of conversations a couple weeks ago. So do listen to those if you haven't listened to those episodes already.
But I think Burton at worst splits time and sees, you know, wide receiver two-ish targets for Bama. I think that's the most likely outcome, and that anymore is good enough to warrant day two consideration in his respective NFL draft.
Absolutely. So I loved it for Jermaine Burton. I think it's great. I don't think he will, you know, like what your question was, like, no, he's not the next Jameson Williams, but I think he's going to be really good. And if you have any stock in Jermaine Burton, this is a better outcome for you than him sticking around Georgia.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, actually, how about we get a word from our sponsors, and then we'll talk about some other guys that could definitely smash going through the transfer portal at the wide receiver position.
All right, we're back. Let's go to a team that is becoming a darling of yours. You can't stop just smothering one of their players with love. I'm talking about we're back, baby, the Longhorns. This guy, Isaiah Nair, coming over from Wyoming, he obviously is going to have one of the best receivers in the country on the field at all times in Xavier Worthy. What do you think he can do here in Texas? There's a lot of buzz around this move when looking at like transfer rankings and stuff like that. Not a player, to be honest, that I really had heard much about. But like you look at like over at 247 Sports, like he's graded really high at like a 93, right behind Jermaine Burton and actually above of Jaden Hazelwood. So a lot of excitement around him. What are your hopes, dreams, and expectations for this? And does it hurt Worthy at all?
I don't think it hurts Xavier Worthy too much. Although, you know, it'd be tough to live up to what he did last year, really giving us the best true freshman season, what, of all time, from Xavier Worthy there. So, but Isaiah Nair comes in, you know, from Wyoming, and Wyoming's not exactly known as a prolific passing attack. And, you know, he didn't even catch 50 balls last year, but he didn't need to, because he averaged like 20 yards per reception for Wyoming, when their team overall, like what their league quarterbacks adjusted yards per pass attempt was like 5.3. So they weren't exactly efficient all season long, but yeah, I think he's going to be a good wide receiver too for them. And if that is the case and Sarkisian continues to develop that offense and grow that offense and Quinn Ewers hits at the quarterback position and man, the volume could expand in a way that we could see three viable receiving options in this offense eventually get some actual draft capital. So I think Nair could see some capital, and he's a name that I think a lot of people just a year ago had no idea who Isaiah Nair was, because one, even if he was the lead wide receiver for Wyoming at that point, no one cares about Wyoming football, but he was one of the most efficient players in all of the sport. So yeah, Isaiah Neyor could hit.
Now you've done it. All seven Wyoming Cowboys fans are going to be up in your DMs, man.
Yep. Yeah, I just gotta watch my mouth. I really do.
Speaking of another team that everyone hates and no one cares about, Auburn.
Oh my gosh! Now that you're gonna get death threats, man. Auburn fans, don't mess around.
No, but Kobe Hudson's taking off. He's heading to Central Florida to hook up with his old coach, and while Dylan Gabriel is gone, I imagine UCF will still be still be a prolific offense. How do you feel about this move for Kobe Hudson moving from Auburn to UCF?
Yeah, I think this is huge for him. Kobe Hudson was one of the very, very many disgruntled players with the coaching staff overall, and Brian Harsin and that whole mess of a situation at Auburn. And we don't have to get into that, but Kobe Hudson was essentially like let go. Like it was just a really odd situation. And he was like really thankful for his time there, but you know, kind of ended his little note about the program basically saying, yeah, Harsin was from the North. I was from the South. He just didn't get me. It's a terrible culture fit and Harsin's going to be gone. It's just a gross situation, but Kobe Hudson is kind of Gus Malzahn's guy. And he has been, for a couple of years before Malzahn was unceremoniously kicked to the curb. So I think he could come in and actually be in the mix for kind of wide receiver one level targets, maybe right away. So that could be really exciting because he was a high pedigree guy that is a fantastic route runner. I think he can play a variety of different receiver roles. So I'm excited there because UCF, well, I mean, even before Gus Malzahn, they were getting vertical and we joke about Malzahn's putt-putt offense, but they weren't really doing that last year. So I like Hudson's chances at really skyrocketing this year.
Yeah, and we've seen UCF put some wide receivers in the league recently too. I'm pretty sure Gabe Davis came from there. They had another guy. So it's not a terrible fit. And when you have that kind of opportunity, you definitely could see some capital. So I like that one too. I think I actually got him. We in our dispersal draft that I at C2C League I joined you in. I think I got him in the dispersal draft. So let's hope that he actually crushes like he could. We talked about one of the teams that's seen a lot of work, second to maybe only USC. We've talked about them in all these episodes so far, quarterback, running back, even got a shout out in the tight end section. We got a couple wide receivers moving to Ole Miss. It's interesting because they'll most likely see their leader, their statistical leader at every major position on offense is going to most likely be a transfer. So here we have Malik Heath from Mississippi State, which I'm really excited about this fit at Ole Miss, and then Jordan Watkins moving from Louisville to Ole Miss. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this because we both see this offense as, I mean, obviously a prime destination for offensive skill position players.
Yeah. Ole Miss is going to just air it out. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. Whoever's catching passes there should be okay. I think they're going to be lots of opportunity at the very least. And that doesn't necessarily always lead to draft capital, but it has in recent seasons for sure. When we think about AJ Brown, we think of DK Metcalf, we think of Elijah Moore, lots of guys coming out. I don't think that they're going to have a star this year, but even if they don't star in draft capital, like they get an opportunity. Like Dontario Drummond had 76 catches for over 1,000 yards this year, 8 touchdowns. Ja'Cory Pearson transferred from Western Kentucky and immediately kind of earned their kind of slot-ish role. Braylon Sanders, I think, is going to find an NFL home this year. A bunch of guys have found some level of intriguing production. And so I think Jordan Watkins coming from Louisville to Ole Miss actually had almost 20% of Louisville's receiving production last year. So, some Definitely underrated production there coming from Louisville. Malik Heath was kind of a speed freak, transferred to Mississippi State and was wasted there. But I think he could really smash in his final season for Ole Miss and end up getting drafted himself. So I could be intrigued and convinced that either one or both Jordan Watkins or Malik Heath finds themselves drafted next spring.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like Keith a lot. I think it was the season opener against LSU, Leach's first game. We just got to see the Mississippi State receiving corps go nuts. It was super fun. But yeah, I love and anybody going to Ole Miss, I'm interested in. The only bummer is that I had this strategy in all my C2C startups last year, so I've got a lot of second year players that I was hoping would smash and now are all of a sudden going to be buried on a depth chart, but no one cares about my team. Let's move on to another team that has multiple players coming in. We're seeing Kentucky has acquired both Tavion Robinson and Javon Baker from Virginia Tech and Alabama respectively. What do you think of these two? Obviously some big shoes to fill, or not so big shoes to fill. With Wandale taking off, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I think this might be a gap year for who we see being a super intriguing skill position player coming out of Kentucky. But if it is that one of these transfers becomes super interesting, I think it is Tavion Robinson. I think it's a mix of his versatility. I think he can be a kind of short area underneath target monster for them, and he adds value as a receiver and he adds value as a runner coming out of Virginia Tech. So Tavion Robinson is kind of a do-it-all weapon, and so I think Kentucky has shown they really love that kind of player. We thought Wandale would be even more of a gadget player last year than he was, and I think Robinson could be that guy, whereas Javon Baker might get penciled into that really boring outside Kentucky wide receiver role, which hasn't really led to let me check any draft capital in the past, decade. So, Baker, I don't know what he was thinking transferring to Kentucky, but not a great look between those two. It's obviously Tavion Robinson if we're making a bet on who's going to hit.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. A couple more guys to get to. One that I want to go to next is, let me see here. Let's talk about Taj Harris going from Syracuse to Rutgers. Taj Harris is, again, on the 247 Sports. He's got a 4-star 90 grade impact player, but Rutgers?
Yeah, going to Rutgers was, you leave one terrible passing offense and go to what might be one of the worst, programs for that kind of offense ever. So really rough. Harris was talking about retiring from football when he first left Syracuse. And so, yeah, I don't know what he's thinking going to Rutgers, but hey, he had good, decent adjusted numbers in his second season, even last year some. I guess before he left. But really, he's going to be in a situation where his raw production is going to be absolutely gross. But I think his market share numbers, he could eat most all of the targets for Rutgers and work his way into a Senior Bowl performance and then get some hype through that route. And then, maybe he goes and gets himself drafted, because I think he's better than any of the wide receivers Rutgers has had in the last few years. And that's not a knock on Cruikshank or Bo Melton. Bo Melton, I think, is actually decent, went through the Senior Bowl route this year. But Harris is going to have to just absolutely go off in a way that Rutgers hasn't seen since Kenny Britt. So if he wants to see real capital.
Man, Kenny Britt, that's another name I haven't heard in a long time. Before we finish off with one of my favorite players, Antoine Wells, I just want to get your thoughts on him. Transferring over to South Carolina. We've talked about, Spencer Rattler, going over there. And now he's got a new teammate here. Do you think that could be a connection that is interesting at all? Or do you think do you think it's just not a name that's really that important? There's not enough excitement there.
Yeah, or opportunity. I'm not super excited about any pass catcher at South Carolina, other than just thinking about, like, yes, I want to get excited about what it means that Spencer Rattler is there. And so maybe he makes somebody relevant at the wide receiver position. But it's funny, like, I think their best two pass catchers might actually be at the tight end position this year, which is a little weird. But, like, when we just talked about one of them on the last show, but Austin Stogner, Jaheim Bell, both of those guys, I think, could be the best receiving options on that team. Like, I mean, Josh Van last year was the guy. There is a role to be filled there. He was kind of their lead target. But Jaheim Bell was the other guy. Dakarion Joyner was targeted a bunch. Like, he actually played quarterback there for a second. They need somebody to step up. So maybe I get what you're saying. Like, it's kind of an empty spot where somebody needs to step up and make a difference. So maybe from that point of view, it is intriguing. But I'm not certain that they're going to kind of pepper one receiver enough that they're going to come out of nowhere and get capital.
Yeah, I guess if Spencer Rattler is going to become a thing again, we're mm-hmm. going to have to see some production. And doesn't always happen, but usually there's a guy from the wide receiver room that steps up as well. And so, yeah, just curious, because people are looking for these names that might be hidden that maybe haven't been selected in Devy drafts, well, deep Devy drafts or C2C drafts. And so just curious your thoughts there. But let's finish off the show with, I mean, if you listen to Matt and I's podcast, you've heard this guy's name a lot, because Matt thought he was the best receiver in the Clemson room, maybe not the highest star ranking, but the Canadian phenom himself, Juju, going from Clemson to USF.
Yeah, and of course, you got to love to see. It's really actually kind of rare that Canadian players or any foreign players, like, even
I thought you were going to say someone has the same first and last name.
Well, that's pretty rare too, to just be Joe. I mean, that's pretty rare for sure. But I think it's funny, like, the highest rated European players coming in as a tight end in this freshman class this year, and he's, like, I think the first or second ever to be in the top 300. Like, and so it's really weird for JoJo to come from Canada even and be a top 400-ish kind of player. Like, he was and if you're unfamiliar with, like, the star ratings and where the cutoffs are currently and recruiting, like, if you're a top 400-ish player, you're, like, right on the cusp of being a four-star player. Like, that means some of the services probably had you as a four-star kind of athlete. And that's what he was. Like, he's a 6'3", 6'4", kind of 220-ish pounds monster of an outside wide receiver who also has some speed. And I think he's got, like, over 10-inch hands. Like, it was just bonkers mitts. I think they were talking about that, like, even in spring practice when he came in to begin his career at Clemson. So, you know, transferring to USF, and they don't have really anybody that is anywhere near his level of talent. And so we could see him go off and have one of the most absurdly high receiving yard market share, kind of dominated rating. I'm not sure about his yards per team pass attempt numbers, just analytically speaking, because USF's probably not going to be super efficient. But we could see a guy, you know, transfer from Clemson, where it looks like he kind of flamed out, and go to a situation where they absolutely just need anybody, somebody to go off, and he's the guy that does it.
I love it. And I think it's interesting that so many players, so many wide receivers at Clemson did not hit anywhere near their potential, let alone their expectation. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. I kind of am excited for a change of scenery for him. I was hoping it would be somewhere a little bit more exciting, but I just think about what he can do against that competition and get very excited. Like, he will beast out. It will be fun to watch. And I think he'll be putting up good numbers compared to anything you've seen there for a while. Do you think this, do you think he's someone that could hit some draft capital?
I think so. I think he's got that kind of old school team big wide receiver skill set, but I think he can also create some separation on his own as well and just dominate in kind of contested situations too. So, yeah, even though he's downgrading, I guess, if you, you know, from one of the top tier programs to a, well, at best, middling group of five.
Program. Now I want to have a conversation if Clemson should still be considered that. But
well, they absolutely should. Like, they've got 10 or 11 years in a row.
But you know where I'm going with this. If we're looking at the future, we'll need to do this on another episode. Never mind.
We will. No, it's okay. But Clemson's going to have to fix some things, and they're going to have their coordinators work out. But yeah, they're still a top tier program.
Anyway, Hey, we love him here on RotoViz. So that's all that really matters. I need to start saying his name correctly. As someone who always has people say their name incorrectly, you don't. Now you say Stephon Diggs' name incorrectly, which I appreciate. I need to get his name right. But anyway. For Travis, for RotoViz, for all of our sponsors, thank you guys so much for listening. We really do appreciate you. If you could just take a minute and rate and review the podcast, that always means a lot. Also, go ahead and give Travis a follow. That's at @FF_TravisM. You can follow me too, but if you want some good fantasy football content, I think you should follow Travis. But we do appreciate you listening. Y'all are the best. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you again real soon with some of our thoughts on the numbers as they come out from the combine. Travis, anything you want to leave the listeners with, anything that they should be looking for from you?
Well, I'm always writing a bunch. I've got some combine pieces coming out. I've had a bunch of sleeper pieces for the rookie class come out here soon, but I'll have a few different takes on some new metrics I'm creating to predict the future for NFL prospects coming out of college at all the positions as well over at RotoViz. And of course, the rookie guide, we're already working on version 2 that will come out after the combine. And, you know, we got version 3 that comes out after the NFL draft. So tons of good stuff there from myself and really the whole crew that puts that rookie guide together is just fantastic. So really just look for that on rotoviz.com.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with you sometime next week.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.